Hey there, welcome to another week of the Gary Zimek Show. I'm Gary Zimek, great to be back with you here on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you had a good weekend. Today, across the United States, the big news is the eclipse. It's taking place as I'm recording this right now. Be careful, don't look directly into the sun. You've heard this from a zillion people, you don't need to hear it from me. But I felt that I should at least make that public service announcement. So how are you doing today? Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great weekend. That gospel yesterday was powerful, wasn't it? The gospel from Daily Mass about the Canaanite woman who just didn't seem to want to take no for an answer. She just kept humbling herself in front of Jesus, kneeling down. Didn't matter what he would say, didn't matter what the disciples tried to say. She knew that she wanted a cure for her daughter, and she believed that with the Lord all things are possible. And I think that's a very good quality, something that we should all strive to imitate. Today on the show, in addition to looking at the Mass readings from Monday of the 20th week in Ordinary Time, I'm going to replay an interview that I did with Danielle Bean, author, speaker. She was recently on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, to talk about another story in her book, You're Worth It. This is a book that was published by Beacon Publishing. Really good book, directed toward women, but the message applies to men and women. I always like having Danielle on the program because we talk about different scripture stories. So that's going to be coming up in the show today. And as I said, we will look at the Mass readings. A couple of pieces of news. Total consecration, September the 4th. It begins here. If you've never made your total consecration to Jesus through Mary, why not do it this year? We're going to do it on the radio. There is no book necessary. I'm going to do the meditations each day. You just show up here armed with your snack, your beverage, whatever you want, and get ready to talk about the Blessed Mother and Jesus. And then on October the 7th, which is 33 days after we begin, you'll have the opportunity to consecrate your lives to Jesus through Mary. I'll, again, lead you through the whole process. And keep in mind, we'll talk more about this as we get closer. And I know we're getting very close, but you will have the opportunity to go through the entire 33-day preparation period and then say, I don't think I'm comfortable doing the consecration. That's okay. I'm going to encourage you to do it, but I would say that it's nothing you're forced to do. And even if you do it, even if you go through and consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary on October the 7th, you can always take it back. You can rescind it if you feel for whatever reason it's not right for you. There's no sin involved. There's no special magical formula. All you need to do is say to the Lord, hey, Lord, you know what? This isn't for me. I want to take this back. Let's undo what I just did. But honestly, I first did my total consecration in 2011, and it was the greatest action that I have ever done in my life. I'm telling you, it's powerful. Once you get the Blessed Mother working for you, amazing things will happen, and you are going to grow closer to Jesus. If you're somebody who struggles to trust him or really to get to know him, doing this will really help. And you're not even going to know why it helps. And that's what's really neat about the way Mary works. She works totally behind the scenes, and she can help us in ways that we don't even necessarily see. So total consecration begins on September the 4th. Stay tuned for some more information. I'll give you more details about how it all works as we get closer. And I know we're only a few weeks away, but just get prepared for that, if you will. The other thing is my podcast, designed especially for worriers, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. I need to get the word out to more people about it. I'm getting great feedback from those who are participating, but obviously I want to get it out to as many people as possible. So if you know someone who is a worrier, please let them know about Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And the way to find out is to go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, and click on the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled button. Simple as that. That's all you need to do. So make sure you check that out as soon as you can and forward it to the worriers in your life. All right. I guess that's it for business. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new week. Thank you for loving us every day. No matter what we do, we know that your love for us is constant and does not change. We're very grateful for that. Father, help us to continue to walk with you each day. There are a lot of temptations in life. Help us not to give in to the temptations. Help us to always remember that one day we will be judged on how we lived our lives, on what we did, on what we said, on what we didn't do. We're going to be judged. We get one chance. one chance at this life. Help us to remember that, especially during those times when we feel like quitting, when we feel like going our own direction and moving away from you. Help us to remember that life without you, or even though that's technically impossible, but when we turn our back on you, that's where we get into major trouble. And not only do we jeopardize our salvation, but we're going to really get rid of our happiness. So help us to be reminded of that fact. Father, we ask you to heal all those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who might be battling addiction. We pray for an increase in religious vocations. We pray for all of our current priests, religious, and deacons. We pray for peace in the world. We pray for an end to terrorism. We pray for an end to abortion. We pray for our government leaders. And we pray for each of our own personal needs, whatever they are. We lift them up to you, Father. We ask you to handle them for us, all of our money worries, our health concerns, our relationship troubles, our feelings of hopelessness. We give them to you, Father, and we ask you to help us with them. And I ask you to speak through me on the program today. I ask you to speak through me and to open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to the message that you have for us. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, thanks for listening to the program. Let's dig right into the scriptures. Today's first reading is from the book of Judges. Now, what we've been doing throughout the past several weeks is going through the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis, the call of Abram. God calls Abram to leave his homeland. And he says, Abram, come on, I'm going to make of you a great people. And he's building his people. He's building his church. And we've gone through several of the Old Testament books. Now, with the death of Moses and Aaron, we are looking at the book of Judges. Now, the Judges were the rulers, the early rulers of the Israelites. This is before they would have kings. They had judges. We're looking today at the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. The children of Israel offended the Lord by serving the Baals. Abandoning the Lord, the God of their fathers, who led them out of the land of Egypt, they followed the other gods of the various nations around them, and by their worship of these gods provoked the Lord. Because they had thus abandoned him and served Baal and the Ashtaroth, the anger of the Lord flared up against Israel, and he delivered them over to plunderers who despoiled them. He allowed them to fall into the power of their enemies, round about whom they were no longer able to withstand. Whatever they undertook, the Lord turned into disaster for them, as in his warning he had sworn he would do, till they were in great distress, even when the Lord raised up judges to deliver them from the power of their despoilers. They did not listen to their judges, but abandoned themselves to the worship of other gods. They were quick to stray from the way their fathers had taken, and did not follow their example of obedience to the commandments of the Lord. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, he would be with the judge and save them from the power of their enemies, as long as the judge lived. It was thus that the Lord took pity on their distressful cries of affliction under their oppressors. But when the judge died, they would relapse and do worse than their ancestors, following other gods in service and worship, relinquishing none of their evil practices or stubborn conduct. Idol worship, it's a pretty bad thing, isn't it? When we look at these early people, the Israelites, worshiping idols, imitating people from the surrounding countries, turning away from the one true God and worshiping idols, we think, oh man, these people were really nasty and really strange. It's a good thing we don't ever try to worship idols. Idol worship is every bit as big right now as it was in the time of the Israelites that we read about today. We have the idol of entertainment. We have the idol of money. We have the idol of comfort. We have the idol of so many different things. We turn away from God. Ask yourself, what is stopping you today? What is keeping you from a closer relationship to the Lord? Do you have trouble turning off the TV, the radio, staying off the internet? don't have time to pray because you're always busy doing something or other. You know, you're listening to this show. That's pretty good. There's a good chance you're in good shape. But look, I think we all need to be challenged. We could all be challenged in some way. This reading speaks to each of us. I love to pray. I love to watch EWTN on TV, but I don't like to be nice to people who annoy me. I mean, it could be anything. What is keeping you from a closer relationship to the Lord? I'm afraid to give more money to church, to charities, because I might need it someday. It's the idol of money. The false idol of money. What is keeping you? What is keeping you from a closer relationship with the Lord? It's going to be different for each of us, but a question that we all need to ask. Psalm today, Psalm 106, remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. They did not exterminate the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but mingled with the nations and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare for them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They became defiled by their works and wanton in their crimes. And the Lord grew angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. Many times did he rescue them, but they embittered him with their counsels. Yet he had regard for their affliction when he heard their cry. What has caused you to turn away from the Lord today? And it might be challenging. You might need to really think about that. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand what it is in your life that has caused you to remain far away from the Lord. And it's a matter of degrees. You might say, well, I go to daily mass, I pray all the time, but that still is a question that we need to ask. What could I do to improve that relationship, to do something better? Ask yourself that today and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The gospel fits in perfectly. It's Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." The man asked him, "Which ones?" Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have observed. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. What's the thing in your life that's keeping you from the Lord? Is it the fear of letting go, the fear of surrendering your life to him, the fear of turning control of your life over to Jesus because you're afraid to suffer, you're afraid it's going to be too painful? What is the thing that is keeping you from moving closer to the Lord today? Ask for that knowledge. A lot of times we don't realize it. We don't necessarily realize what it is that's causing that gap between us and the Lord. And then pray for the grace to be able to take that step, to be able to eliminate that thing from your life. The story of the rich young man is an interesting one because we really don't know how it turned out. At the moment, it doesn't look very good for the young man. But he may have had a change of heart. We can only hope that that's what really happened. But Jesus knew that there was a problem. And here's a guy that was trying to live a good life. He was trying to follow the commandments. He was trying to do the right thing. But obviously he had a problem with possessions because we're told that he went away sad. That's the one thing he wasn't willing to give up. And you know, I think a lot of times we do the same thing. We say, "Jesus, I want to follow you. I do trust you. I want what you want, but do me a favor. Don't mess with my possessions. Don't mess with my money. Don't mess with my prestige. Don't mess with my comfort. Don't mess with these things. These are off limits, Jesus. I'll give you everything else but this thing." And you know what? He wants that thing that we don't want to give up because it's often that thing, the thing that we're holding on to with white knuckles, that is really the thing that's keeping us from him. So here's what you do. Pray for the grace, number one, to know what that thing is that's keeping you from him. And then pray for the grace to be able to say, "Lord, take it away from me. Take away that desire." You know, you can say that. You don't just have to give up the thing. If you're hanging on to too many possessions, too many things, you're too materialistic, say, "Lord, break that desire. Help me to desire you more than things. Help me to trust you more than trust my money in the bank." Okay? And you'll see he'll work with that. But that you've got to have that desire. This young man did. He wanted to do the right thing. Now, again, he might have come back to the Lord and said, you know what, I thought it over. I am going to give up my possessions, sell them, and give the money to the poor. We don't know. Let's make sure that we address that question in our lives. All right, we're going to take a break now. When I come back, Danielle Bean will join us to talk about her book, You're Worth It. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. While working as a Spanish translator for a class at Mercy Center in the Bronx, Angelica Perez encountered a woman in her late 50s who opened up about her lifetime of physical and emotional pain. Though Angelica realized this woman needed professional treatment for depression, she listened sympathetically as she talked for over an hour. Before leaving, the woman hugged Angelica and said, "Thank you for listening to my story. No one has ever sat with me and listened for such a long time." Recalling that experience on the Mercy Volunteer Corps blog, Angelica wrote, "All I did was listen with compassion and respond gently. I was reminded on this day that the simplest acts of kindness can make a big difference." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Well, we are joined right now by the author of the book, You're Worth It, Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You. Danielle Bean joins us right now. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Gary?
Doing great, Danielle. Today we're going to talk about the visitation. I love this story. In your book, you discuss this event where the Blessed Mother, as soon as she found out that she was pregnant with the Savior, she decided she needed to visit her elderly cousin Elizabeth. Talk a little bit about this, Danielle, if you will. We all know the story, but what does
right.
it mean? What does it mean for us?
Yeah, I mean, this is such a beautiful story. It's
yeah.
so rich with meaning. I just love to read the scripture and think about every word, because with haste, that's what
with
scripture
haste.
Tells us.
Yep.
Mary went with haste to her cousin Elizabeth, upon learning that her cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, had conceived a child. But it was in the same message
yeah.
that she learned that she herself was pregnant with the, you know, with God, you know, God's
yeah.
son. Really big news, right? And most of us, I think, would take a moment to process that
yeah.
and to figure out what's going on in my life.
Exactly.
What's going to happen to me? What kind of change is going to happen here? And yet, Mary, with her generous, beautiful, feminine spirit, responded, reaching out to others, wanting to connect with her cousin, hearing that she was expecting a child and wanting that connection with her. So she went with haste mm. to her cousin Elizabeth. And then let's just think for a minute about that scene. These two women, an older one and a younger one, both expecting children in this miraculous way, both blessed by God and aware of the blessing of God on themselves and on each other, just connecting in that moment of the visitation through their motherhood. I think there's such a beautiful gift, especially to women there, about female friendships and the importance of female friendships, the importance of encouraging and supporting one another, especially through the ways that motherhood causes us sometimes to suffer and sacrifice.
And I think what's amazing is the fact that even though we can easily overlook the fact that the Blessed Mother was bringing Jesus with her, and there was an encounter between Elizabeth and Jesus. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful thing, right?
The yeah.
beautiful detail where Elizabeth is, through, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit, there was no way, other way she could have known. Nobody told her this, recognizes that Mary is pregnant with Jesus,
right.
pregnant with the Savior, and gives voice to that, recognizes him in the words that she speaks. And these are the first words on earth of someone recognizing the presence of the Savior here on earth in this public way between
mm-hmm.
these two women, and that's recorded in Scripture. What a beautiful thing. What a gift to Elizabeth to be the one who speaks those words of recognizing Jesus' presence there with them. And I think there's a message to all of us inside of that, that we also have that gift of giving voice to Jesus, of recognizing Jesus' hidden presence inside of our relationships, inside of the other people that he places in our lives, and speaking that truth to those people, but also to others around us, pointing out Jesus' presence among us.
Danielle, you know what I find interesting about this? When we look in Luke's gospel at the account of what's happening here,
we're told, the word, there's a quote from Elizabeth, and she said this, "For behold, when the voice," of course she's speaking to Mary, "when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy." She had that encounter with Jesus. Jesus didn't say anything to her, did he?
Right. He didn't need to.
Right.
Yeah. What a beautiful thing to recognize the power of Jesus in that way, to recognize the power of Jesus' presence, and the sometimes small, subtle ways that he lets us know he's there, especially through other people, especially through the everyday things of our everyday lives.
Yeah, and what I also like is the fact that Elizabeth was, who was Elizabeth, right? An insignificant, elderly woman, and according to Scripture, the first person other than Mary to whom Jesus revealed himself to. I mean, pretty amazing.
Absolutely, and you see that time and time again throughout Jesus' lifetime, that he gives voice to the voiceless, the weak and the vulnerable, the people who are castaways among our society that culture wouldn't recognize as important in any way. Jesus seeks them out, and he highlights them. He recognizes their presence and affirms their dignity and their worth in a beautiful way. So you're absolutely right. Here's Elizabeth, an elderly, before this, barren woman who was, you know, would have been looked down upon in her own society, in her own culture, even in her own family. And yet here he is blessing her with this gift of fertility in her old age, showing that Jesus can, in fact, make all things new and bring life where there's death and there's barrenness. And at the same time, affirming her dignity and her worth in the importance of her, of every human person.
And that's such an important concept that really underscores the title of your book, You're Worth It. And to anybody listening out there who might not feel that Jesus cares about you, here's an example that you are worth it. He does care about you. And Danielle, in the chapter that we're discussing right now, you also go on to share the story of another elderly woman, Anna.
I know. I love that Anna, too, is one of those first that gives voice to Jesus' presence.
Yeah.
So for those who might not be familiar with the name Anna, she's the prophetess that runs into Jesus at the temple when his parents bring him there for the presentation in the temple. And, yes, we all focus on Simeon sometimes because he gives this big... He gives this big, bold speech and everything, and that's very important. But at the same time, Anna recognized him, and she's mentioned in Scripture, and she was an elderly woman who wasn't an important part of society. She was there living out the rest of her elderly days in the temple, waiting for her Savior, and Jesus came to her. She wasn't able to go and find him where he was. He came to her and recognized her faithfulness in her waiting for her Savior, and in that very important moment, recognized her dignity, her worth, and loved her individually. And she recognized that, too, in that tiny baby that came to her. What a beautiful gift for her, but then what a beautiful gift for us for all time. There's a reason this is recorded in Scripture. It's not an accident. It's not an accidental side story. It has great meaning for every one of us.
And I think you're doing such an important service, and this book really, it's an important message for many women out there who might feel, you know what, I'm not worth it. I don't feel good about myself. Talk to that person, that woman out there right now, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important, and especially in our culture, there are times where we all can feel that way.
Yeah.
We can feel outcast. We can feel unnoticed. We can feel unappreciated, even by our own friends and family. Maybe you have a lot of people in your life, but you feel lonely inside of that situation because you're not feeling recognized. People aren't speaking to you and noticing you and recognizing your importance and the important role that you play in their lives. And many of us can feel that way at times, underappreciated and unnoticed. And yet, inside of this book, I try to remind women of the different ways that Jesus seeks out that very person that you might feel like right now, unnoticed, pushed aside, left behind, unimportant, undignified, or not worth it. And he seeks out that person and lifts them up. He seeks them out and highlights them, people that society would never have noticed, would never have recognized as important. He makes them important. He shines a light upon them, gives them an important role in all of salvation history, and he'll do the same for you. It may not be that, you know, you're going to have some visitation moment with the mother of our Lord, but you can, in fact, have a beautiful encounter with Jesus who will recognize you, recognize and affirm your dignity and your worth.
Great message. The book is You're Worth It, Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You by Danielle Bean. Danielle, we have about a minute left. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, or maybe you invite you to speak, find out more about the book, get a copy, where's the best place to go online?
Oh, absolutely. They can go to daniellebean.com. There's a tab there to find out more about my retreat, especially around the themes of this book, You're Worth It. I've got a You're Worth It retreat that's especially designed for women, a day retreat that I could put on in any parish. Or you can click on the speaking tab and just find out how to have me come speak at your parish, your event, your group. I would love to come out and meet you.
And I'll have that linked, that information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Danielle, before we go, I just want to thank you. You come on the program as a regular guest. I know you're incredibly busy. I want to let you know how much I appreciate it. You're doing such great work. Thanks for spending time with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Gary. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
All right. We'll talk to you next time, all right?
All right. Take care.
All right. You too. God bless you. Danielle Bean, the book is You're Worth It, Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 19:16, when a young man asked Jesus what good he must do to gain eternal life, Jesus told him to keep the commandments. The young man responded that he had observed all of them. Jesus then pushed the matter further by asking what he still lacked. Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." The young man was downcast because he had many possessions. What possession do you have that threatens to compromise the giving of yourself unconditionally to him? It's helpful to remember that no matter what good it is, he is the source of every good. No matter what good appeals to us, it is only appealing because he is its source. Why not choose him directly so that our desire goes beyond just gratifying ourselves and becomes an act of love? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thank you, Father Serpa. Welcome back to the Gary Zimek Show. I want to thank you for tuning into the program today. Remember, for more information about my work, visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you want to invite me to speak at your parish, your conference, your retreat, that's the place to go, followingthetruth.com. Also, I invite you to check out the new podcast, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the only podcast created specifically for warriors. Again, you can find out information about that at guess where? That's right, followingthetruth.com. God willing, I'm going to be back on the show tomorrow. I thank you again for being an important part of the show. Remember, total consecration starts on September the 4th. Also, remember to ask yourself that question. What is it that is keeping you further away from Jesus today? Once you figure out what it is, with the help of the Holy Spirit, ask for the grace to be able to overcome it. Thanks for listening. Remember that wherever you go today and whatever you do, the Lord is right by your side. Just make sure you turn around, grab his hand, and say, "Hi, Lord. How you doing? Please help me." This is Gary Zimek. Thanks for listening. God bless you.